This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Carl Gustav Jung was a psychiatrist and the founder of analytical psychology. He's considered the first modern psychiatrist to view the human psyche as by nature religious and to make it the focus of exploration. Jung emphasized the individuation of a person. The process might be described as being all that we can be by uncovering the hidden parts of our personality through dreams, active imagination, and self-observation. Jungian analysis is a specialized form of psychotherapy that aims to move an individual to a greater sense of wholeness through coming to terms with the unconscious. But what does this mean, and how can it help? We're joined on the phone by John Betts, a Jungian analyst from Victoria. Welcome to People First Radio, John.
Thanks, Kevin.
John, Jungian analysis has been around for some time, and in fact, it struck me this morning when I was thinking about this as being a bit retro in a sense, and it seems that opportunities for analysis are somewhat rare. How did you become a Jungian analyst?
I started out very, very fortunately being taught Jung and psychoanalytic theory at university. And after 3 years, at least 3 degrees in the topics, I had a good academic grounding, and that has stayed with me all my time. And after I finished my training as a psychologist, I moved to Canada and began a private practice and continued to use some of the Jungian ideas that I'd learned at university and let those influence my clinical practice. Then I made this big move. I went and worked for the hospital system for 10 years. And I provided psychological services to all the hospital employees. That was for VIHA. I did this for about 10 years, and during that time, I delivered short-term psychotherapy, and I supervised a lot of other people who did. So we did the 4-to-6-session model. And after 10 years, I sat down and looked at it and said, this just isn't working. People, after a few years of this, come back and need to redo the psychotherapy all over again. So there's something wrong with the model. And it was at that point I said, you know, why don't I just go and do what I've always wanted to do and train as an analyst? So I bit the bullet and moved to Switzerland and trained. And it's been a very, very interesting roller coaster ride ever since.
The training to become an analyst involves being analyzed yourself, correct?
That's correct, and that's what distinguishes Jungian psychoanalysis from all the other kinds of psychotherapy. And the argument is, until you know all of your neuroses and all of your complexes and all of your problems, and you really understand them, you cannot work with another person. And if you think about it, psychotherapy has no tools. There's no gadgets, there's no pills, no potions. It's a person-to-person relationship. So one side of that relationship really has to be quite solid and grounded. So Jungian analysts will do, in many cases, over 1,000 hours of training analysis before they're allowed to see a single person.
You write on your website, we all have within us the power and wisdom for change. And it is through analysis that we encounter this strength and wisdom to make the change. Tell us more about the process of analysis.
Well, Jungian analysis looks at the outside very much like traditional psychotherapy. So it involves two people, the analyst and the client, who usually meet once a week for about an hour. But two very important things happen in those meetings. One is, there's a strong emphasis on understanding how our thinking and consciousness, our ego, is operating. And then, and far more important, how our unconscious affects that first process. So how our ego and our behavior and our language is influenced by the unconscious. And so analysis involves really understanding what the unconscious of the person is through all the material that comes up in the transference, in the dreams, in their art, and other kinds of processes. But one of the things that's really important, Kevin, is we all have these things called complexes, and I know we're going to touch on these in a few minutes. And a lot of the first part of analysis is helping someone deal with their complexes so that they are free of complexes and can live a sort of a more relaxed life.
So Jungian analysis focuses on coming to terms with the unconscious. That's one phrase, and I'm wondering if you could elaborate further on what it means to come to terms with the unconscious and how that happens. And then give us more detail about this notion of complexes. And I think people even use it in everyday slang. You know, what a complex. He has a complex,
yeah.
Right?
You've got an inferiority complex. That's the one you hear a lot. Well, okay, so the first thing is, how do we come to terms with the contents of the unconscious? So Jungians start with the idea that the unconscious is operating all the time. It's influencing my language, my behaviors, my neurotic conditions all the time. And we all know this because occasionally we have something which ironically we still call a Freudian slip. So we want to say something, but we kind of get stuck in our head about, no, I don't really want to say that. We end up saying the wrong thing. And we can feel really embarrassed. That's an example of the unconscious acting through us. Now, everything I've been through childhood, through my history, has influenced my unconscious, and my unconscious influences my conscious world. So what we have to do in analysis is try to say, what's in your unconscious, and how is it operating in you? How is it influencing you? So let me give you the easiest example is, most people have heard about this thing in the unconscious called the shadow. And the shadow is basically all the dark side of your personality, all the stuff that you don't like about yourself, it's you feel ashamed about, you kind of hide from other people. As you work through in analysis and come to terms with the contents of the unconscious, you come to terms with your shadow in a way that you stop acting it out. So you stop using shadow-based behavior that hurts you and hurts other people. And once I know that about myself, I don't need to act it out anymore. So that's sort of a rough idea of what it means to come to terms with the contents of the unconscious, and there's a great deal more there than just the shadow. But before we actually look at that, we've got this amazing thing called complexes. And think of a complex as sort of a cluster or a group of ideas with very strong feelings attached to them around a theme. So, for example, you could have a money complex or a status complex or a worthlessness complex, and all of us know these. There are times when someone will say something to us and we'll complex out. So someone will say something that just switches us on, and we say and do things in ways that other people who watch us go, you know, what happened, man? You like weirded out for 10 minutes there when someone asked you about your visa bill you haven't paid. And you go, yeah, I know, I've got a money complex. Anytime someone says I owe them money, I just really have a difficult time. So that's an example of a complex. Does that help?
Yes, that does. And I think that you make a good point, made a good point earlier when you talked about how we use the term inferiority complex. It almost has become meaningless, but in a sense, it still obviously carries meaning.
It does. It does. And it's one of those judgmental statements we can make about people. We don't say to people, oh, you've got a real superiority complex. We often say, oh, you've got an inferiority complex. And for many people, they may have an inferiority. I like worthlessness almost better. They have a sense of, I don't really deserve this, or I'm not very good at this, or, you know, I'm not going to ask that woman out on a date. She'll think I'm a loser. I'm only a 3 and she's a 10. All those kinds of thinking that we have, those are all complexes.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
Psychotherapy is an interpersonal process in which a person works through problematic issues, resulting in a different way of believing about oneself and behaving differently. The problematic issues might relate to mental health, communication, or more commonly to interpersonal relationships. Jungian analysis is a specialized form of psychotherapy that aims to move an individual to a greater sense of wholeness through coming to terms with the unconscious. This means that we can become aware of the unconscious issues that influence our behavior. A greater sense of well-being and personal control of our lives can come with greater awareness of these issues. We're speaking with John Betts, who is a Jungian analyst from Victoria, British Columbia. John, you write also on your website that we can encounter the unconscious primarily through working, through interpreting our dreams, our complexes, and our physical symptoms, as well as making sense of the symbols we create in art and movement. And I'm wondering if you could just speak a little bit about symbols. Why are symbols, whether they're in dreams or in our art or movements, so important to this work?
Well, they are really important, not only to this work, but to our being human. And we can think of symbols as images or ideas. And let's take an example. An example of a symbol would be a raven or a bear or a house. And because we're a species that makes and uses symbols all the time, we tend to see them everywhere we go. We see them in our dreams, in our art, in our movies. So if you think of a movie and look at all the symbols, all the characters that are there, the scenery, the way people are dressed, how they behave, those are all symbolic expressions from somebody. The guy or the woman who wrote the movie is trying to tell you how they see the symbolic world. And symbols are a little different to signs. So a sign is an image with one single fixed meaning, like a stop sign. A symbol is an idea that has many meanings.
How then would somebody differentiate between a sign and a symbol and the importance of one or the other? And what kind of work would be done with symbols on an ongoing basis?
So the first thing I would say is if I looked at this image and I went, okay, let's say I looked at a stop sign. Okay, well, how many meanings does that stop sign have? Well, it just has one. It just means if you're driving a vehicle, stop beside and proceed into the traffic when it's safe to do so. So the sign kind of really determines itself. It tells you I've only got one job, and if you obey it, things are going to go well. A symbol, say if I looked at the cross, for example, or the raven, I'd say that has so many different kinds of ideas to it. So if you had a dream and you had a symbol of a bear in a dream, what I would do with that is after I'd interpreted the dream, I'd really look up what bears mean. I'd look how bears are in art. I'd say, what's the bear quality in me? So I'd allow that symbol to become alive in me. And that would be sort of one example of how I'd work with a symbol, such as the symbol of the bear.
Tell us more about what's involved in the process of working with a dream, either on one's own or with an analyst, or whether working alone is the first step in the process. Give us more information.
My personal feeling is that everyone can interpret their dreams. You don't have to see an analyst. An analyst can help you, but if you just follow some pretty basic steps, you can interpret a dream quite well. So the first step, and it's something that we should all be doing every morning, is you write the dream down as soon as you wake up. Just write it down exactly as it happened. Don't change it. Don't delete it. Don't take out all the nasty bits. I mean, a dream is a dream. It doesn't mean you're going to do anything. Second thing is write down what you've been dealing with over the past few days. So what's bugged you, or who visited, or what are you worried about? Am I writing an exam next week? And the reason for the second stage is the dream is commenting on the conscious world. So the dream is kind of giving us feedback on how we're doing in the everyday. Then the third step is look at all the symbols in the dream, or usually the nouns or the activities, and just write down a few of your ideas to them. And then the fourth idea is to pick some of the symbols in the dream that you really have a strong reaction to. And then you do something called amplify them. That's when you go and do your research on how is that symbol used in myth or religion or fairy tales. So let's say I had a dream of a raven. I'd start by saying, well, what do I know about ravens? And I'd say, well, there's a pair of ravens that live close to where I live. I think they're very intelligent, beautiful birds. And when I hear the raven call, when I hear it call its mate, that really is the sound of home for me. I would then amplify the symbol of the raven and say, what does it mean in myth and religion? So if I look at, say, the Haida myth, the Haida myth is that the raven opened a clamshell that contained the first human. So if you go to Vancouver Airport, you see some of Bill Reid's wonderful sculptures where he tells you how the raven introduced humans to the world. And then once I'd got a sense of all the bits of the dream, I try and put it together as a comment on my conscious attitude. So I try and bring it together in an interpretation and say, how is this dream telling me about the way I'm living my life? And I think if we start, just do this, and you may not have the answer straight away, that's fine. Just work at it and work at it and talk to your friends about it. And if you run into difficulties, get hold of someone who does this for a living or knows about dreams. But we can all interpret our dreams, and we all have dreams every night.
Sounds like a very interesting process. We have just a moment left in our conversation today. John, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
As I was driving to work this morning, I was listening to CBC, and they had this interview with a woman who wrote a book about the five common regrets of dying people. And she had obviously worked in palliative care. She was a nurse. And she says the number one regret that dying people have was that they did not live their life the way they wanted to. And for me, I go, that's probably one of the nicest things I've heard for a very long time. If we can really try to just live our life the way we need to, the way we want to, it's probably going to work out all right.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
You're welcome.
John Betts was awarded a diploma in analytical psychology from the International School of Analytical Psychology in Zurich, Switzerland, in 2006. He currently practices in Victoria, British Columbia, as a Jungian analyst. You can find John Betts online at jungian.ca, and that's spelled jungian.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.